What is up, Warriors? It's Ray back again with another Ray's Rampages. And guess who I got today with me?
Y'all know what's going on. I'm back again.
Not the pause.
I'm back again.
Oh, my God.
It feels like it's been a minute. It has been a minute. I mean, when's the last time we actually did one of these? Was the last one we did with Tam?
I think it was, actually, yeah.
God. That's all the way back before Christmas break?
Yeah, I think so. I think we actually did that right before Christmas break.
Actually, before Thanksgiving, because we weren't in the building no more.
Oh, yeah.
That was all the way. Wow.
It was a while ago.
That's crazy. Yes. It's like almost 6 months ago.
Wow. Yikes. We have 3 months left of high school.
Wow.
Oh, anyways, today we're going to dive deep. Some of you know me as Ray, Ray's Rampage, right? Some of you know my face, a lot of you know my voice, and a lot of you know Colin's face and Colin's voice. But do you know the real us? The answer is no. Like, not a lot of people know the real us, you know? So today we're just going to give you a little, like, advance on who we are. And as much as we want to share, you know what I'm saying? I just kind of want you guys to know you're not alone in a lot of things you face. As much as it's weird, like, celebrities don't really share much of their life unless you're on, like, a reality show. And those are always, like, over-dramatized. They do a lot of PR stunts for a lot of things. And I just want to get, you know, the raw person of who we are. So let's give a little background of ourselves. So you guys know me as Ray, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my name. That's who I go by. My real name is Rayanna. It's spelled R-H-I-A-N-N-O-N-A. And I have resented that name ever since I could.
Wait, why though?
It's so long, and it's so, you have no idea how long.
Trying to write it out on papers. On iStep, fill in the bubble that corresponds with your letter of your name.
It always be.
If you run out of blanks, stop.
Yeah.
And continue with the next initial.
Right. It took me so long to learn to write it and spell it myself. And
see, mine was easy.
Duh.
Mine was easy. I've got 6 letters, and really 5 because 2 L's. So.
Well, I have 9. And
no, that's fun.
Nothing in my name makes sense. You look at my name and you think Rianona? Rianana? So many. I have had one teacher my entire life say it correctly. It was crazy. It was Mr. Boykin, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And the just guy that gets recently, every name wrong got yours right.
Got mine right. And I was like, wow, that's insane. But actually this year recently, I've had most of my teachers call me by my real name. Besides the teachers I've already had that know me by Ray, or like in here, people call me Ray. It's just what I go by because it's so hard to say my name and remember my name because it's so long. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've struggled with that my whole life, is finding how to tell people, hey, I want you to say my real name, but
I don't want you to say my real name either.
Yeah, I just hate it so much. I'm just like, why is it so long? Why is it so weird? And it just doesn't make sense to me in so many ways. But along with the identity crisis I had growing up.
Not the identity crisis.
Oh my gosh. Let's start with how our career goals from when we were little to now. Because like, our entire lives, they shove down our throats. What do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? Oh my
gosh. Mine changed like ridiculously.
Me too. Mine was always in a science field though, until recently.
No, mine was never in a science field. Actually, the first thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to be a FedEx pilot and fly the FedEx planes. Because
how old were you?
Like 3.
How did you know what a FedEx pilot was?
No, because okay, so here's my aunt and my uncle, before they got divorced, both of them worked for, my aunt worked for, what was it called? Gosh, what was that airline called? I don't remember, but she worked for, now she works for Southwest.
Yeah.
So, AirTran, that's who she worked for. And then AirTran got bought by Southwest. So she works for Southwest. So she worked there and my uncle worked at Delta. So if we ever wanted to go anywhere, we just made a phone call and we flew for free.
Makes sense.
And then one of them would meet us at the gate and pick us up and we would get brought home from the airport. So I remember when I was younger, it was like the first or second time I flew. we got there. Our plane got in like super early for some reason. I don't even remember why, but it was way ahead of schedule. We got in super early and my aunt picks us up and she goes, oh, well, we got a little bit of time. You know, you want to walk around the terminal and everything and I'll show mm-hmm. you where everything is. So I was like, yeah. So, you know, I got to go out to the hangars and see the FedEx planes and the you know, the jumbo jets and all this stuff. So I wanted to be a FedEx pilot. Well, then I discovered what UPS was and I wanted to be a UPS driver.
UPS driver.
So I wanted to be in like postal work for like forever. Yeah. And then I wanted to, what did I want to do after that? I don't know. I think after that, I was just like, I had no idea what I want. Oh, I wanted to be an engineer for a little bit. Mm. For like,
I think a lot of guys go through that engineering phase.
Yeah, they want to be an engineer or an athlete.
Yeah,
or a rapper. One of the. I didn't hit the. I never hit the rapper phase.
Good.
So I kind of feel like the rapper phase is coming. It's just going to smack me in the face in college, drop out and be a SoundCloud rapper. Yeah. But yeah.
I think for me, I started off marine biologist. That's I always really? Wanted to be a marine biologist. For so long. And then we started learning about the ocean and I was like, oh crap.
It's a scary place.
That's scary. I said, wait, you have to be on a boat?
Right. No, that's another one. Like when you say that all guys want to be like an engineer at some point, I feel like at some point, like at least for me, a lot of girls that I know all like have some sort of interest in marine biology at some point.
And then like it changed to poet and because I'm really good at writing. That's something, that's one of my strongest
Lucky you.
Suits.
You want to write my next essay?
No, I don't. Actually, today, sorry, Miss Duguid, I did not read Jane.
Jane Eyre.
I didn't read it
either, but I wrote the essay on it, though.
I wrote the essay on it today in 29 minutes, and actually it was pretty good. I was like, wow, this
Mine
sounds
wasn't
like,
bad.
I was like, this sounds like I actually read it, but I think a lot of the poetry thing came from I struggled a lot as a kid to feel like I was noticed by everyone around me. And that's, I think that's part of where the mental health awareness comes in that way. Cause I've struggled with that a lot my whole life. My mom's pretty egotistical and my dad works a lot. And my siblings have always felt outshined me. My older sister, I love my siblings so much and they're all very talented, but my older sister, she works at IUPUI. My brother stepped into college. He's a great athlete. And I just kind of never saw where I fit in there because it's just hard being that kid where you're expected to do so much and you don't really know what to do because you have a parent at home who doesn't really think you should be sad, but you are sad. You know, you don't know how to express those feelings. So I turned to writing and reading, and I wanted to be a poet or a author so bad, but then I was like, that takes too much time. And then I
reason to quit a career, it takes too much. I don't want to do it.
I was just like, you know what, maybe I can't write a novel. But then I switched to zoology and because I love animals so much.
Is that still what you want to do now?
No.
Okay.
You know what I want to do now? This. I want to be a broadcaster.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's what mine switched to, too.
Yeah.
Strangely, like, after taking this class, it was, like, it was cool. I thought it was just going to be, like, a hobby thing, like mm-hmm. podcasting and then calling games.
Oh, me too. I was calling just kind of like, this is a hobby.
I thought it was just going to be a hobby. And then one of the things that my dad does for his job, he's, like, big in marketing for different mm-hmm. architecture firms and stuff. And a lot of the stuff he does is podcasts. So he, like, looks at charts and he's like, you know, this person makes this much. He's like,
we're not making anything.
No. We're not making anything right now. You know, knock on wood that happens one day. But it's like, he showed me this chart, and it's like, people really just make a living off of doing a podcast episode every day. Like, they work for 2 or 3 hours every day recording this thing, and then they spend another 2 or 3 hours editing it. So, like, 5 hours a day, and they're making, you know, upwards of six figures.
Yeah.
Just from talking. Like, how cool is that? I want to just sit down at a microphone. Like Pat McAfee does.
Yeah.
And bring on a guest and goof around for, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours. And then say at the end of the year, that was a cool little meal that I just made. Like, like who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah. I think I changed over because I applied to Purdue for zoology and then I got waitlisted. That was, that made me feel so bad about myself.
That sucks. I swear it does.
Because they've got a really good zoology program. And I was just like, oh my God, this is going to be so exciting. And then I started doing bad in school. And I was like, I can't. I just can't, you know? And then yeah. I was like, what's the one thing that I'm good at? The one thing that I'm actually confident in doing? And it's this. We both entered in ISAB last year. And I remember, like, how awesome it felt because they were like, oh, thousands and thousands of kids, like, enter this. And you guys are you are the top 10 of all mm-hmm. those kids. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember not even knowing what I was entering myself for. Like, I wasn't told what it was for.
It was for news, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember that feeling. It was
exhilarating.
It's just one of those things. It's like, you don't, up to it, you're just like when they just tell you, like, oh, you're in the top 10. It's like, okay, cool. Like
how many
right,
kids?
It's like, okay, I don't really know what that means. And then you get there and you realize, and you start listening to the speakers and it's like, you're one of, like, however many thousands of kids that have entered this, and you're now in the top 10 in, like, the state or the country or something. It's like, there's, like, hundreds of millions of kids.
Well, I think the news one was countrywide.
Yeah, the news one was countrywide. Mine was statewide, so for...
But only kids from Indiana made it. And I was the only junior last year.
Yeah, that was another crazy thing, too.
Yeah.
Out of all those kids, hundreds of millions of kids that did this stuff, and you're like... You're the only junior that made it in the top 10, alone one of the top 10 in general.
I remember sitting in that room, in that conference room, and the professors came in, and we got to shake their hands and meet them, and it was so exciting. They had this little breakfast bar for us, and we sat there, and we all talked to each other.
The food was amazing.
Oh, the food
was great.
The fruit?
School food to the food we had that day was just so a different level.
I think the whole experience was, like, awesome,
yeah,
to be honest. But, like, sitting in that room and just talking to those people... After, like, they were like, oh, yeah, we already knew that. Like, this is my second year that I've been here. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, they asked me, like, oh, we didn't see you here last year. Like, what grade are you in? And I'm like, I'm a junior. And they're like, wow, what? Like, and I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I don't understand why I'm the only junior in this room right now. Like, even the on-air personalities were all seniors. And I'm thinking about the competition this year and I'm like, okay, I... pretty much have a guaranteed spot. They know my name. They're going to see my entry and they're going to see my growth because I have grown so much since then, I believe. And I'm going to enter a podcast this year too. So it's so exciting thinking about it. And I'm just like, everyone else is going to be new.
Yeah. No, that's the other thing too, is it's kind of like, you know, the biggest thing for me too, was you got critiques back on, you know, what didn't go well. In your stuff from last year. Mm-hmm. Or at least I got critiques back on my stuff.
No, we did not get critiques.
Yeah, I got critiques back on my stuff. And it was like, it was enough to not make me win.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so, so minor.
Yeah.
It was like you had to get, like, it was like if I would have done this thing just like one little bit differently.
The competition is so close too. Because like everyone
right,
they'd
be coming in within like hundredths, like 0.01 of each other from like first to third. And it's ridiculous.
Like, it's insane because of how much talent is in that room. Like, mm-hmm. even if you don't win, it's just an honor being there with those people because, you know, you're the top people. And those are the professors that want you at their school, that want to see you be in the broadcasting business, that want your name out there. And it feels so nice to think, wow, like, this is something I like doing, and it's something that I'm good at. And that's where the sense of belonging comes, I feel like. Because this, your whole life, they're always shoving down your throat. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? Your entire life, they're telling you, you have to choose what you want to be right now. And they're preparing for you that. And it's like, you just have to be okay with it. And it doesn't make sense. But when you find that place you want to be, it's probably like, one of the most exciting things ever.
Oh, heck yeah.
The confidence skyrockets.
I mean, yeah, because look, it's like you said. I mean, they're trying to force you to be something your entire life, and it's like, I don't know what I want to be. You finally find that spot where it's like, this is it. And, you know, you've kind of made your decision at that point. It's huge. I mean, it was like that it was like that signing for college and everything. Like, you signed the dotted line for me to go play baseball and to go do broadcasting for the next 4 years. It was like...
Yeah.
The time leading up to that, super stressful. Oh. But, like, the second you put your signature on the paper, it's just like,
oh, yeah.
Whew, it's gone.
I remember applying for U of Indy and thinking, I was like, okay, they might not get back to me soon because I turned in my application pretty late because I was still deciding if I wanted to do broadcasting or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember 2 days later, email, you got accepted. And I was like, what? And I was talking to some people and they were like, well, it's probably because they know your name, first of all. Second of all, you met the professor, so he knows you already. The school knows your name. So it's kind of like, it's one of those proud moments.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm being recognized for my talent. And you're just wanting to go further with that. I just want to keep taking it further and further. And it's like, I know I can. You know?
That's one of those things, especially with this industry, is like, if you don't have confidence in yourself, who cares if anyone else has confidence in you? But if you don't have confidence in yourself, especially in this industry, you're not getting anywhere. Like, straight up. I mean, it takes... How do I say this without getting your podcast taken down?
without the podcast getting taken down.
You got to have a set to do some of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's not everyone can sit behind a microphone for like 16 minutes right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not everyone can sit behind a microphone for 16 minutes and carry on a good conversation.
Oh, yeah. And it's like...
Or go live on the air and talk to a bunch of people. Like, also, not everyone can do that.
Yeah, you have to swallow your pride, too. You start from the bottom in the business, and you have to work your way up to the top. And many years as it takes, like, eventually, you know you're going to get to the top if this is what you really, really
want. You're going to climb. And the biggest example that I use for that, at least for me, being on the sports side of stuff, Stephen A. Smith. I mean, the story that guy has is basically, now he's the highest paid ESPN employee of all time.
Mm-hmm.
10-year, $100 million contract. That's the highest contract that anyone's ever signed with ESPN. And when he first started and when he first got into the industry, he was working for free from midnight to 7, right? Yeah, midnight to 7 or something for free, running board ops for a radio station.
Yeah.
And he lived off of, like, Kool-Aid and tuna. For like however many years. Like, that's all that he ate and drank was like Kool-Aid and tuna because it's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And now you're, you know, $10 million a year for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not struggling anymore. Like, you finally made it. You're big shot.
Yeah.
And you know, it took him however many years to blow up. But I mean, now that he's blown up, you're pretty much blown up forever. So.
Yeah, it's just something you got to stick with. But we're going to end it here. Give us some feedback if you guys want to hear more about this. I'm going to put some polls up on our social medias. I know this is a weird, like, plug and whatever, but on our Twitter, 911WEDM, and Instagram, 91.1WEDM. I just want to hear some feedback from you guys. If you want to hear more about, like, how we feel about the industry and everything and what we feel as younger people going in and having experience already.
Yeah.
So, yeah. See you guys next time.